May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 915. Why, O my soul, art thou dismayed? Why in these tents of sorrow groan? On what have thy fond hopes been stayed? Still seeking rest, but finding none. Hymn 915.
From the Holy Word of God, let us read in the book of the Revelation of John, chapters 4 and 5. In the book of the Revelation, chapters 4 and 5. Revelation chapters 4 and 5. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon these seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts, full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had a face as a man, the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him. They were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honour and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him, that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth for ever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odours, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honour and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. The 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. Let us pray. Most blessed and most merciful God, the I am that I am, who we have just read of, who liveth for ever and for ever. Or as we come into the house of prayer this evening, or we do want a little view by precious faith, a touch in our souls of the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the root of David. O Lord, we favour to have a pleasing sight of thyself, that Lamb, as it had been slain in the midst of the throne, sitting upon the throne of grace at the right hand of power. We come in all our weakness and thraldom, helplessness, or we'd come in that frame of mind, so we would see Jesus. Please instruct us in the way that we should go. Please, in mercy, confirm us our own souls, that we are thine, thou art our God. Oh, that our sins, which are so many, are all forgiven. Let thy powerful word be powerful to us in that still, small voice. And it may be as the voice of many waters to us, and all its glorious effect in bringing us as broken-hearted sinners to thy dear feet. We may weep there and love thee there and worship thee there at thy feet. Look up to the throne of grace where thou sittest. Yes, crowned with glory, clothed in a body like our own. We confess all, Lord. All our rottenness, all our dreadful guilt, all our black record, all that we are, solemn rebels against a good God. But Lord, we plead, as Gatsby puts it, plead that blood which did once for Sinatar. I just tried to mention this morning, Lord, oh, that one great sacrifice of sin. Oh, that shedding of thy blood once. Do grant that the blessed spirits may really make it very blessed and true to us in confirming our own souls that everything has been put away. All our sins were buried with thee forever in the grave and cast behind God's back. Ah, that Lord, we are among those sheep, those lambs in Christ's fold, that our heavenly friend, may we feel the warmth of thy love, thy tender mercies toward us. We want to know more of the sanctifying grace and experience of our soul on that daily communion. Oh, that we might be helped to live close to thee. We can come in with the prayer, oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Oh, dear Lamb of God, may we know thee as our Lamb, as our salvation. Can we know what it is to eat the Paschal Lamb again and again in our lives? And with unleavened bread, no mixtures, and with bitter herbs, and while they did eat it, with their loins girt about them, and staff in their hand ready to depart. Oh Lord, we do confess our solemn loitering, our slowness to believe, our holding back, our diffidence, Lord, our weakness in the flesh, because we feel so unfit. Oh, so unfit for thy blessing. So unfit, Lord, to follow thee. So unfit, Lord, to be among those who indeed make a public profession. Oh, because we're so unfit. Many fears about many things. But may we look to thee. Lord, go before us. Help us still to venture to the throne of grace. Oh, help us to fill our mouth with holy arguments. Oh, help us to plead the word of God, to plead thy all-prevailing name, to press our cases, persist at the throne of grace, humbly answer that we will not let thee go. Help us to say reverently, I cannot turn back, I daren't turn back. Lord, if I am to perish which I deserve to perish, then let me perish at thy feet. For Lord, we most firmly believe that none ever perish there. So help us still to press our cases. Oh, do good. In thy good pleasure unto Zion, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Grant the Holy Ghost in the ministry tonight. And may the Holy Ghost be with us in the pulpit and in the pew. Take of the things of Jesus, take. Thou blessed heavenly paraclete. Oh, thou divine comforter, and do be that sweet teacher to us, and inscribe the name of Jesus deep in our hearts. We begin to adore the Lamb, midst of the throne, and not be ashamed of thee. Oh, but we may indeed cling close unto thee, follow thee in all thy ways, in all thy word, in all thy holy commands. Oh, to be among those who endure to the end and overcome, not to be ashamed of thee while we live here. Hear our cries in these things, Lord. Bless us now, O thou dear kind priest, to intercede for us all, and do help this stammering tongue here tonight. And do grant that thus saith the Lord, and kind physician, come where we are. That's all about every one of us. All those living carelessly, happy to go to chapel and living in a form. Lord, touch their hearts, awaken their true state. On those who mourn over all that they are, feeling inadequate, feeling the least in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, kiss them. Kiss them with the kisses of thy mouth, and speak that fear not unto them, and tell them that thou art their first and the last. Their Alpha and their Omega, their beginning and their end. Oh, their author and their finisher. Hear prayer. Oh, remember each then. Oh, that are sorrowful and cast down. Many tremblings and worries about the future. Oh, Lord, do sweetly say peace be still. And to speak those fear nots to the worm Jacob's here tonight. Oh, bless poor sinners. Loose prisoners, Lord. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Help us all in the daily affairs of life. Protect us. Preserve us. Oh, be a wall of fire round about us. Do help us all day by day and night by night. Guide us by thy fiery and thy cloudy pillar. Choose thou the way, but still lead on. Comfort about the earthly scene. It will be well. Though we are weak, yet thou art our strength. Though we're dying, thou art our resurrection. We're in enemy's land, but thou art our dear shepherd and redeemer, and the captain of our salvation. Bless us then here tonight, as all friends in need, friends in affliction, friends with serious matters, our friends in earthly business, bless mothers and wives in the home life, the married and the unmarried, each for their own peculiar needs. Bless the dear young. Oh, the young men and young women, touch their hearts with thy divine finger. Call me all by divine grace. Thy grace to sinners will be pleaded, that it reach their hearts. Bless dear children in school days, little ones in arms. We love to see them and hear them in Zion. Bless them. May they be thine. Bless dear office bearers. Give them much wisdom and grace and godly fear. Give them a single heart and a single eye to the glory of Christ. Lead them by thy Spirit. Dwell among this people. Bind them together in love, union, godly fear. May they pray one for another. May they have one mind in the Lord. May no divisions come among them. Oh, hear prayer to keep them tender. Keep them in thy fear. And order their way safely. Order them in all their exercises, we pray. And out of them such as shall be saved. Gather them for this village and district according to thy good will. Ah, those whom thou hast ordained unto eternal life. Yes, Lord. And among us here tonight, do grant, Lord, that as many as are ordained unto eternal life might believe. Oh, help sinners to believe. To really look within the veil. Ah, and to credit what our Saviour saith, whose words can never fail. Oh, that we had that stronger faith. To really look within the veil. And to humbly believe and give God the glory. We want the divine power with it. Resurrection power. Softening in our hearts. Truth to be made known sweetly. Oh, Christ to be made precious. Revealing of the Blessed One and all that thou art in thy glorious offices. As the glorious King of Kings, we have never been able even a little to worship thee like Thomas, after all our unbelief and fears. My Lord and my God. So bless us each here then. Bless this people and do them good. Raise up over them a God-given pastor. Oh, exercise according to thy will. Keep them, Lord, from mere carnal thoughts and their own ideas about things, but make things plain and guide them rightly. We do pray, hear prayer for them. And Lord, we do pray for the dear flock and friends at home. Bless each precious soul there, young and old, and help thy dear servant labouring there today. Grant him a thus saith the Lord. Those signs from the preaching of the word. Bless that which thy dear servant preached here at last Lord's Day. And with thy dear servant engaged on the coming Lord's Day, and pray may be well enough to come. And that the word might be blessed. Spare him yet in the gospel ministry upon the walls of Zion. Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Oh, may we Love Zion. Love her gates and love the road, as the poet says. Love her inhabitants. Oh, to love the King. Lord, it is my chief complaint that my love is cold and faint. But thy love is never cold and faint to thy people. It's a wonderful truth, Lord. Oh, bless us tonight. And help us now. Spare the guilty round. We live a dreadful age. Hear our cries concerning the creation ordinance of marriage, that somehow, Lord, in thy wisdom and power, it, this wicked change, a great abomination being brought in, Lord, may be overturned. Hear the cry of thy distressed and anxious people. We tremble for our children, really, and our grandchildren. How it would affect their lives, Lord. It's so solemn. Lord, mercy. Oh, hear our cries. In thy tender mercies, overturn, overturn, overturn it, we pray. Pray for ancient people Israel, surrounded by enemies. And yet, Lord, they don't realize they're living as enemies to God and the Lord's anointed. Hasten the day when the vow shall be taken away, and nation they shall repent. That both Jew and Gentile and the Ishmaelites and the sons of Israel may worship the King in the beauty of holiness. Lord, thy kingdom come now. But may I be among them. May we each be among them, Lord. Those true worshippers that worship God in spirit and in truth. The Father may seek us to worship him. We might know thee, his beloved Son. So help us now, Lord, and give something to say tonight. And command the blessing from above, everlasting light and guide. We do need such a preparation for thy divine will. I know what my heart's like, Lord. Oh, we can't. It's not an easy thing to submit to the will of God. We're so full of fear and unbelief. Want that grace, Lord. Come and help us compassionate our cases. Oh, give us the grace, Lord. We have to know what we ought to do, but find that that we have not the will to do it, though we desire to do it. It's the weakness of the flesh. Oh Lord, we do pray that though we have that will to do good, yet we do it not. And the evil we would not do, that we do. The good we would, we do not. We confess it. We thank this written. All the gospels for sinners, failures, poor dying men. Oh, we plead the gospel. We plead thy name, the all-prevailing name, the truth. Thou art the truth. We plead thee. For, Lord, our remaining days in time, the appointed hour of departure, we plead thy precious name to present us sound and whole in that tremendous day. Present us unto thy Father. We may see Jesus face to face. We shall see our Father also, as we gaze upon the Lamb. So bless us now, pardon all, oh our wicked, wicked, wicked nature, oh our failing lives, our black record. Please forgive everything. Please save us. Please sanctify us. Please be with us. Please be with us to the end. Make us each real. Make thyself precious. Plead the all-prevailing name. Pardon of our many and mighty sins. And thank you for so many mercies. Oh, the harvest and the sowing, the winter, the summer, the cold, the heat, the day and night, and every blessing thou hast so wonderfully and liberally placed upon us in this world. We bless thee for it all and pray that we may have a portion in Christ. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 989. Ye captive souls in fetters bound, who feel your misery, the way to liberty is found. The sun shall make you free. Hymn 989.
Complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayerful attention once again to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16 and verses 15 and 16. Mark, chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. And he said unto them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Don't feel I went very far into truth this morning. I realize that it's a height and depth unfathomable, but may we swim in it in that long, long eternity to worship the Lamb in the midst of the throne. One thing I should just mention, that there is an anointing to preach. An anointing to preach. It's by the Holy Ghost. And God is a sovereign for the weak and base instruments he may choose and anoint to go forth into the gospel ministry. Lord, ever keep you here to a living ministry, a ministry of the Spirit, and it will be known by a peculiar due unction. As words are spoken from this place, they'll be found in accord within your soul, that you may know the sacred divine harmony of what it is to give Christ the glory. May the Lord raise up over you here a true pastor according to his heart. May you wait upon him. Maybe those here who may have an exercise. What can you do? Wait upon your God. Wait his time. Trust only in him. Maybe he'll raise up one from your midst. Maybe he will send one from afar. But my dear friends, be not hasty in your own self-will, but may all things be proved in waiting upon your God. Now I close really trying to speak of the theme of the precious gospel. I said this morning, Christ is the substance of the very gospel. What a blessed and vast subject it is. One further thought that springs to mind, hoped I might touch upon it this morning, but time fled. There is one in heaven who delights in mercy and is touched with the very feeling of our infirmities. He knows your fears sitting here tonight. He knows my fears standing here tonight. He himself has entered into all the temptations of God's people without sin, without spot and blemish. I put it in my little way that Satan did not make a scratch, a dent or a mark upon Christ. He tried to, but oh, he endured as seeing him who is invisible, his own heavenly Father he knew and came from, invisible to us, but he came from the Father, has returned to the Father, and he served and loved God here. Oh, but he knows your troubles. He's walked through your troubles. He knows what sore temptation. He has felt the same. And he reads your inner aching heart and deep anxieties about many things in your life. The unfolding of your days, what the future holds. The reality of your religion. Read your exercises. Would to God that me with those here exercised truly to put on Christ. But he sees and realizes and knows what goes on in your heart. How inadequate and helpless. Oh, you are in these things and how afraid you are of making shipwreck, bringing reproach. Oh, he wants to know to do the Lord's will. You dread to sin presumptuously. My dear friends, he delighted to do his Father's will. He giveth more grace. What as a high priest? There's one raised up by God to compassionate your case. One, my dear friend, who can truly bless you and confirm your soul, one who can lead you according to his own will. Well, exercise of soul, my friend, should be in accordance with his will, his good will. We're always in a hurry. My friends are always ready sometimes, but maybe his time is not yet, but when he commands. And my friends, when he speaks, it's done. May we draw near to that blessed Prince and inquire about every matter in our life. He knows your fears concerning your family, your offspring, fears about your health and your strength and your length of days. He knows your inner fears about your sinnership. Will you one day you be swept away? Will in some unguarded moment down you'll go, never to rise again is the fear. God will cast your way. Ah, there's a high priest in heaven. May we pour out our heart to him. Oh, as the gospel declares, but this man, what sacred terminology, but this man. Oh, may we ponder the sacred humanity of Emmanuel, a real man, as I mentioned this morning at the beginning of this point on the gospel. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. The sense there, of course, is concerning his priesthood. While time is in being, of course, he continues as being the eternal God and your dear Lord and your dear husband forever and ever through endless age of eternity, particularly his priesthood now. Why, my dear friends, he sits upon the throne of grace. The grace that you need to save you, strengthen you, comfort you, help you, order your way. The grace that you need to be given to you, that you may be helped to so walk as Christ walked, and not to turn back, not to yield to unbelief. Oh, the grace you need from him. Yes, to trust in him, to believe in him more, to reverence him, to delight in him. Grace is all with him. But this man, because he can do it ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. The same today as he was yesterday and forevermore, as I touched upon this morning, concerning the blessings and the helps you've received. He changes not. Yes, and in the unfolding steps of your life, he changes not. You and I are full of change, aren't we? Oh, we soon start walking, left to ourselves in the sparks of our own kindling, in the light of our own fire, but we usually find, indeed, will find, in these false thoughts and exercises and goings, we lie down in sorrow. Not eternal sorrow, mind you. Those who are presumptuous do that, but the Lord's people, they fear presumptuous sins, and we can, as it were, say that we are being exercised by God and doing our own things, but the Lord proves things over the years. If you're doing the will of God, you'll need it to be confirmed again and again, and you'll want the light of his counsel in your innermost conscience. My soul, wait thou upon God. Now, we have a doubting spirit that doubts whether he will ever grant us such approbation and grant us such a sense of liberty that we are his. That is our unbelief, our wretched unbelief. My dear friends, the Lord knows your exercise here tonight. Do you know in whom you have believed? That blessed high priest is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. When he was being made sin for us, who knew no sin? His father and your father was placing a dreadful, dreadful cup in his hand. And he cried out in divine submission, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And it was God's will that he should die, that you might live. You that look to Christ. Oh, he knew. Christ himself trusted in God. They mocked him at it, didn't they? Oh, he trusted in God. Oh, let us see whether God will come and redeem him. You know, we can see that sweetly set forth by the apostle in his epistle to the Hebrews. It may seem strange language to us, but it's blessedly true. In the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears, that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. God saved him from death. It's an unfathomable mystery, because he was the eternal Son of God, but he was doing God's will to go into death for the church of God, for the bride his Father had given him, the people his Father loved, and that people whom he loved. And it was with strong crying and tears. There will be strong and crying and tears with your exercises, weren't there? The heavy trials, the deep afflictions, the fears that fill your heart, the overwhelming floods. I say these very solemnly. I'm so weak myself. I can't face one trial, friends. Alone, we must have Christ. We read in Psalm 107, he raiseth the stormy wind and the waves thereof. Now, you dear friends, you know some of these stormy winds and the waves thereof, don't you? And you've mounted up to heaven and gone down again to the depths. Your soul has been melted because of sorrow. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he heard them. Why? Jesus in the heavens hears them. Because he himself, with strong crying and tears, ah, he's touched with a sympathy, my friend. And he said, if it may not pass except I drink it, it couldn't pass without drinking, that you will not sink, but that you might live. He drank it. All the divine vengeance of God against your love of sin. And you'll have in your nature a love of sin to your dying day. Dreadful, frightening knowledge. We want Christ. We knoweth them that trust in him. They're his. They were given to him. Grace taught your heart to fear. Grace taught you to trust. Grace helps you to believe. Not just once in your life, but day by day as you journey on and are tossed to and fro with tempest. Grace helps you to still call, to keep your heart and your mind stayed upon him. And when your heart and mind wanders and you get cares, grace calls you back. Sometimes very gently, and you see he's not dealing with you as you deserve. Sometimes with a fiery trial. And you're humbled to know, indeed, that you're not being dealt with. Again, as your sins deserve, but though it may be in judgment, it must be in mercy, as you're enabled still to look to that blessed one. In the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications. See, no, he supplicated. He supplicated. One of Philpott's portions recently spoke of prayer and supplication. There's the prayer that is more gentle. You can put it in such skillful language, I can't. But there's that supplicate, that vehement cry. Jesus prayed on the mountains of Israel. We know not the substance of it. He prayed in that longest recorded prayer in John 17. Oh, about his bride. His bride will be with him. Dear seeking soul who seeks the Lord, you will be with him. Father, I will. When those whom thou hast given me shall be with where I am, they may behold my glory. And you see, it's that people that seek him. I'll come to that in a moment, the Lord helping me. But we read this, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. He supplicated. His heavenly Father heard his beloved Son and his supplications and sent an angel to strengthen him. Humiliation. But a created spirit, created by the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, flew from heaven to minister to your dear Redeemer. That very person who Thomas said when he touched, "My Lord and my God," he supplicated. Dear friends, there will be many supplications from your heart. But all the steps you have to go, all the solemn trials you have to walk through, supplicate about your dying day, dear ones near and dear, your providence, your circumstances, every matter. And was heard. God heard him while he prayed here. Was heard in that he feared margin for his piety. Why, he heard the Holy One. He heard the cry of the Holy One in our nature without sin upon the earth, his own dear Son. And he hears the cry of the Holy One in the court of heaven, his own dear Son. He's raised up to his right hand to be a prince and a saviour, and to give poor sinners what they want, what they need. What is your greatest need here tonight? Repent unto Israel and forgiveness of sins, we read. Do you need the Holy Ghost? Do you long to know him? Do you need a fear not and a divine command? He's raised up to command. He's raised up to lead you, prompt you, encourage you, confirm your soul. Raised up, my dear friends, to deliver you. Well, I must hasten on. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. As God, he did not need to learn anything. But for his priesthood, he learned by those things that he suffered. In other words, he learned it for you, my friends. He enters into your pains, your temptations. He knows exactly what you pass through. Now, he passed through it without sin. But, my dear friends, he entered in to death itself and rose from it. Of course, as he died, being the forerunner, his Father received his spirit. He received the spirit of all who die by faith. And his spirit indeed returned to the body as that real man. And all the time in life and death, he was the eternal Son of God. God could not die. But truly, the God-man died, and we dare not venture to look any further because we don't understand. The God-man died. Truly, said the centurion, as he saw the earthquake and the sign and the darkness, this was the Son of God. Yes, and he is. He's risen from the dead. May we believe to the saving of our soul and bring your whole case and your whole cause unto Emmanuel, God's great high priest. His Father hears him. He ever lives to intercede before his Father's face. Give him, my soul, thy cause to plead, nor doubt the Father, but I must hasten. What a blessed King he is. That is why I read in Revelation, chapter 4 sets forth the great I am that I am, who can't really be seen, the Ancient of Days, our most holy Father. And in his book, in his right hand, there was that book, still with seven seals, you see. God's will and purposes to his church, to the earth, for the glory of the King in Jerusalem, that Christ and all things might be glorified. And no man was found worthy. No man from earth or under the earth or in the heaven could be found. That doesn't mean in the presence of God, but heaven means on high. No man could be found worthy, you see. But oh, has he wept much? When things are so uncertain with you, when you can't be sure your exercises are of God after all, and you come under temptation, and God hides his lovely face, your life stands at a halt. Oh, you're in a halting place. Oh, a place of anxiety, fear and distress. You daren't turn back, but you can't go forward. Oh, my dear friends, you weep much. Weep much. You want the Lord to show you the way. Lord, to make things plain to your soul. And we read this, and one of the elders said, weep not, weep not. Well, you know your weepings here tonight about many things. Your mistakes, your failings, oh, your sins. Weepings in your circumstances, in providence. Weepings over the fears and a cruel enemy. They're suggesting the blackest things that make you quake in your boots. My dear friends, he hates the church. Oh, those infernal darts from the bottomless pit. And all his cruel suggestions to destroy and dismay and drive you away from Christ, from the throne of grace. But you know you'll weep. Weep not. Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book. Why, he fought. He conquered. He died in victory and bruised Satan with an incurable bruise. Oh, he made an open way to heaven. Yes, lined out by the precious blood of the everlasting covenant. He's abolished death. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Oh, he's made an open way to glory, a way into the holiest of all. Himself has gone within the veil into the presence of God for us. No man dare venture going to the holiest of holies, but a high priest anointed and washed, and garments put on, and the shedding of blood to go into the presence of God once every year to make atonement for the sins of the people and sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat. But Christ, by his own powerful blood, has ascended above the skies in the presence of our God, shows his own sacrifice. Jesus, the Root of David. And again we read it towards the end of the Revelation, the bright and the morning star. Yes, Jesus, the King of glory, reigns on Zion's heavenly hill. Looks like a lamb that has been slain. And where's his priesthood? Give him my soul, my poor, troubled, halting and doubting soul. Thy cause to plead, nor doubt the Father's grace. Ah, my dear friends, may we wait upon him continually. So you see, he prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof and to, oh, that lamb, seven horns and seven eyes, which are the spirits of God, the seven horns, divine power, everlasting strength, the seven eyes, omniscience. He knows all about you, all about every body cell of your body. I'm speaking that very carefully. I'm not trying to be dramatic. It's true. He anticipates the day which partly you dread and I dread naturally. He anticipates the day when your blood-washed soul will go and be with him. And here's the poor pilgrim, and to learn many, many prayers in hope and in faith to him, because he can't face that day except Christ be with him. He's a believer. If you're a believer, you'll lay out prayers about every matter, my friend. Yes, believers tremble. Believers are tried. Believers suffer from a sinnership. Oh, believers can't manage. They need the Lord's mercy. Believers need the Lord to speak to their heart and direct them in the way that they should go. Oh, like the psalmist, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me in the way everlasting. This is the exercise of believers in looking to him for everything. Well, you see, he came and took the book, and they worshipped. This book really is the divine purpose of God to the earth and his church in all the ages that were to unfold. It's being unfolded today. Jesus has loosed the seals of this year right to the close of the year and next year. God's purposes in this 21st century, his purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. And to the believer, the bud may have a bitter taste. But to the believer, he will prove at last, but sweet will be the flower. His purposes are unfolding concerning his church as individuals. You and I collect as individuals, and you and I to go with all the saints collectively. May we seek him to know and to do his will and cast every care upon him. I thought I wanted to read that concerning the unsealing of these books, you see. Is he worthy? He is. Think of those answers to prayer. Think of that sweet hope. Think of you called upon the name of the Lord and, oh, hope has been truly raised up in your soul in your desperate troubles. Oh, you clang to Christ, yet to say, thy will be done, and trembling because it will appear sometimes in the solemn deeps that his will may be, not to spare, or his will may be, yes, to chasten and sore, and you tremble before God, and yet you long that he should come right into your soul, he should speak the healing word, he might be merciful. And he gave you faith to lay hold upon his strength in that trial. You were able to lay hold upon his strength. I've known that in my life. When all was dying and I was sinking, I must speak personally, two or three places, when it was all finished and over, and that was it. No use praying or crying anymore. But he enabled me to lay hold upon his strength. And hope raised up, a door of hope in the valley of Achor. Oh, we're stoned and we're stoned again. Oh, Achan was stoned. Why? Sin. And the law, the severity of the law, he was stoned to death. Well, you feel stoned to death in your soul, but you're not being stoned to death. You're being chastened and corrected. Oh, to be richly blessed. Prayer to be heard. Oh, answers to your prayer. You think of those seasons when your soul worshipped him. Worshipped him. Ah, you said in your heart, thou art a good God. Oh, as you've said in your lives again and again, blessed be thy name. Oh, then you began to sing a new song and say, worthy art thou, O God, to receive honour, power, dominion and glory for ever and ever. Amen. Ah, my dear friends, you see, the King is in Jerusalem. Merciful and gracious. The amazing thing about the King of Kings, he loves to dwell with the poor and the indigent and the vagrants. And poor, guilty, guilty sinners. He blesses them. And he feeds them. And he receives them so kindly. Like he did, and I touched on this morning, like he did when living here, he received them so kindly. Never sent anyone away. He never frightened anyone. But they did reverence him. If you've got the root in your soul, you reverence the Son of God. You fear to move without him. You want him to be your divine leader, everlasting strength, to be with you. Oh, my friends, to put out his hand to hold you up with the right hand of his righteousness, that you may be helped to continue in the way in looking to him, knowing, desiring to know and to do his will. Well, I must hasten on to preach the gospel to every creature. That blessed king then, and the great shepherd of the sheep. But I want to come to this, you see. To whom are the blessings addressed in the gospel? See, the gospel is preached for every creature. Well, it's to all the world. Now there must be some plain speaking, some truth set forth. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. My dear friends, we have a long eternity. There are the warnings of the gospel. Warning. Except ye believe in me, you shall die in your sins. I'm not quite quoted that correctly. If ye believe not in that I am he, if ye believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. A solemn thing to die in our sins. The worm will not die. The fire will be not quenched. It's called the bottomless pit. There's nothing for your feet but a sinking into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. If ye believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. If you believe that he's that blessed, blessed he, hallowed be his name, you'll pray to him. Oh, you'll cry for mercy. You'll want all that's in him for poor needy sinners. Well, just one or two thoughts spring to mind concerning this point, you see. The Lord said, may it suffice me and suffice you. The Lord said it. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Now you know your labourings here tonight. Your heavy burdens, your laden, weighed down. The poet puts it this way, twice 10,000 cares, a multitude of troubles, weighed down. Many matters, oh, for the Lord to arise, oh, for the Lord to appear. Labouring and longing to arise and follow him, but many fears, many thrusts from the enemy, knowing how inadequate and poor you are. We could go in all the exercises of soul, all your soul troubles, or one day spiritually minded, the next day groaning like yours. He did groan sincerely. He didn't just say it to be religious and to write things so he looked good like poor humans can do. He was inspired by the Holy Ghost. But I am carnal, sold under sin. He groaned daily. What a wretched man the apostle. He knew what himself, what he was before the pure and holy eyes of God and dear Emmanuel. Ah, he hated his life. And so do you groan within yourself, don't you? Oh, but my dear friends, his precious blood has atoned for every sin. Therefore, oh, how you long to do his will. Want him to be your teacher and your guide in every matter. Well, he says to the labouring, there is a certain labouring and exercise, isn't there? Cast thy burden, margin, gift upon the Lord. The Lord giving you eternal life. Well, you're not living in a careless, happy-go-lucky sort of way in religion, are you? You want the Lord to be with you. The Lord confirm your soul. These weighty matters of your soul. These solemnities of life and life's journey and the issues of death. They're weighty matters, aren't they? Therefore, you see, he says, come to you that labour. Cast thy burden, your exercise. In this sense, gift. We think of burdens perhaps as being a heavy trial. Cast thy heavy trials. Cast overwhelming floods. Cast the thing impossible upon the Lord. But it does include the divine gift, thy gift, the margin, meaning the solemn matters with you in your soul, your thoughts and exercises and leadings. Oh, how you feel so much need of confirming. You know how poor and blind and naked you are. Oh, you want another token, another touch, to be strengthened with my inner man, to take up thy cross daily and follow him. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He'll never suffer the righteous to be moved out of the way of faith. Faith. So, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Blessed are they that mourn. Oh, these are the sweet truths of the gospel to mourners. I tell you, friends, I have much to mourn over. I have. I think some of you have too. Much to mourn over. But you're a blessed person who mourns over what you are. Your sins, your shortcomings. The world mourns over it. Can't get enough of the world. If you listen to a news bulletin, we need to be careful in doing that. It's nothing but grumbles. Speak to neighbours, they're always grumbling. People at work are always complaining. Who complains about their sins before God? The dear people of God. Those are exercised. Yes, and the gift in the exercise. If he's given you eternal life, you're exercised to win Christ, to reverence him, to honour him, to obey him. He should be honoured. You want to give him the glory. You're exercised to be found bringing forth fruit. You're a Solomon character, and I say it very tenderly and kindly, if you're not concerned about bringing forth fruit, you know. One of my greatest griefs. Most of my fruit seems cankered and diseased as far as I can see and judge. And I think some of you will know the same. You do want, the everlasting Son of Righteousness to arise and smile you into fruit. You realise the pain of pruning, the digging about and dunning, the disturbances. To bring you, let me be rooted and grounded in thy love, Lord. Yes, blessed are they that mourn. Yes, who mourn over their sins and after him. Who mourn after a precious, precious Jesus. You know, my dear friends, they shall be led with weeping and supplication. With weeping and supplication, will I lead them. Lead them. The Lord Jesus wept. In sincerity, he entered into the grief of Mary and Martha. He didn't do it by emotion, but we do. We can't help it sometimes. We see the situation, we're affected. But Jesus really is a merciful priest. He understood their grief and he wept. And my dear friends, there may be those weepings with you over your sins after precious Christ. The reason is you have eternal life. The woman in a wicked, wicked, unclean ways, notoriously so, in the city, never wept. Poor woman couldn't get enough sin, could she? Oh, how she was running the way to hell. We don't know what happened except she was called by grace. That's all we know. She was called by grace. How do we know that? We don't have any experience apart from this. She came in and wept at the feet of Jesus. She washed his feet with her tears and wiped his feet with her hair and kissed his feet. Ah, she was forgiven. May you and I go again and again to that mercy seat and weep before him. I'll have to hasten on because of time. Those that seek him shall find him. Oh, seeking soul, be not dismayed. You will find him whom your soul loveth. You say, yes, but I wish I could be confirmed that my soul loveth. I know so much coldness and lukewarmness, and I have to often weep before the Lord. I have a divided heart. And you hate it. You want your heart firmly fixed, don't you, by grace? Ah, my dear friends, you see. He said, seek, and ye shall find. Oh, may we ask that we might receive, and knock that it may be opened. He addresses the seeking soul. Oh, my dear friends, if you're a believer, you must be a seeker. And you know what you want. Seekers know what they want. Believers know in whom they believe, because they see all virtues, mercy, grace, strength, and everlasting righteousness. Oh, forgiveness in him, preached through him. And he's believed on in the heart, isn't he? I have to hasten, it's 2:15, and I must come on. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. This is the effect of the gospel, isn't it? A stone of stumbling and a rock of offence. Many were offended and turned back and walked no more with him. Oh, friends, that leads to damnation. But oh, to whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Oh, my dear friends, may we remember that stone which the builders disallowed, which is made the headstone of the corner. There's a head raised by God. And he that believeth shall not be confounded. Oh, my dear friend, he that trusts in the Lord and the merit of Christ and prays to the Lord, believing to be the Lord, he is justified and will never be confounded. God justifies him, and he will confirm that justification in your heart, in your soul, when he's felt to be precious within your breast. He that believeth is a vast subject of no time. Had a number of thoughts upon it. Sweet thoughts, I felt, to me actually, personally, but I don't think I can express it now. But the Holy Ghost can make the truth precious to your soul. Ah, he that believeth. You believe he alone can satisfy your soul if you're a believer. He alone can give you your heart's desire. But it's more than this. Do you believe in this way? To the laying hold. The woman that believed pressed through the crowd. She received the virtue. And those sweet encouragements, those good hearings you've had in this chapel, those times on your knees, those times when praying to the Lord and entreating him. Oh, has there been little strength given? Gospel crumbs the master's table. You verily believed and worshipped. He that believeth. Dear friend, in believing, you believe in the whole. The things of God are quite a mystery, really, aren't they? In this way, you may feel there's so much you simply find so great, so immense concerning Christ, and you wouldn't be able to argue and split hairs in doctrine with many clever people, would you? But what a sweet simplicity in faith. You have many mysteries in the things of God, but you believe and trust in him. Because your heart says like Peter, Lord, to whom else can I go? Who shall I go to, Lord, but thy dear self, for thou art the Christ. All I can do, Lord, and help me to do it, because there's strength and help in thee, Lord. Do you believe there's help laid upon one that is mighty? Do you believe there's one, even Christ, exalted from the people? There's help in him. So the prayer of faith says, Lord, help me to trust. Help me to be still. Help me to follow thee. Oh, help me to obey from my very heart. Help me to go forward, looking alone unto thee. He that believeth is that Jesus, the Son of God. It's not mere, just a technical title, the Son of God. He that believeth in his salvation. Every blessed, glorious virtue and grace, salvation and all its fullness in him for poor, shriveled, helpless, worthless, dying worms of the earth. Oh, you draw near. And how do you learn this? Yes, in the night watches. Where have you learnt your doctrine, my friend? At the feet of the Lord Jesus. On your knees, the throne of grace. Years ago, as a godly woman, Hayward's Heath, and she used to go to a lighter church, and they called for people to come and be baptized after the sermon. And the daughter said, "Why didn't you go to be baptized, Mother?" She said something like this: "That's man's call." She said, but I want the Lord's call. And she said, real religion on your knees, in secret before God. Well, of course, you had to leave. go to, and she's a godly lady and has now gone to glory some years ago. You see, this is where you learn things on your knees, my friend. The throne of grace. Waiting upon the... Isn't it good to wait upon... Have some of you been blessed in waiting upon the Lord? Have you renewed your strength in waiting upon the Lord? Casting your care, believing in Him. You know, you're called to fight this fight of faith. Not just today, but tomorrow and the day after. Day by day, fighting the fight of faith. To call upon that precious name. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. Thou shalt glorify me. One thing I must add in these thoughts is this. All these promises are sealed by blood. The encouraging words of grace, the divine directions, the holy commands are sealed by blood. To trust in Him, to wait upon Him. Ah, my friends, one of my great sins is my mistrustful heart. I did like that hymn 950 many years ago. It was made a blessing to me on a Saturday afternoon. Oh, we groan in these tents of sorrow, don't we? Oh, we forget the precious truth of Him. We're so unmindful of Him. Ah, but you see, He hasn't left you yet. He keeps reviving His work in your heart, doesn't He? He won't let you go. He won't allow you to let Him go, because He'll ensure in your little pilgrimage you need Him. And you need Him to do everything. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. In baptism, spiritually considered, there is a crucifying. In baptism, there's being buried with Him. My dear friends, there is indeed a leading to the fountain and being plunged therein in gospel hope. You see, dear friends, it's believing and being baptized that go together. Now, I fear I have to, mustn't be controversial, but I realize in our churches it's becoming quite common now, well, you're a believer, you should be baptized, or you should do this and do that. Well, my dear friends, I can never say because I'm a Christian I should do this and I should do that. But because He's precious is the experience of your soul. He's precious. Now, it is a divine command. You need the Lord's help to take up your cross and follow Him if you're a believer. It's with a real, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, to so venture. And you have to plead His merit. And I believe the Spirit makes His merit precious to your soul. You have a witness of the Holy Ghost, don't you? This is not by duty faith, but by humble living faith in Him who is precious to your soul. Now, true baptism isn't essential for salvation. But your dear, kind, prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God was baptized for you. He went down into Jordan stream to set forth by baptism the figure of the church being buried with Him. Yes, your sins being put into the watery grave, rising unto newness of life, old things passing away, all things becoming new. Yes, as He was immersed in the love of His Father, so may you and I know what it is to be immersed in His love, in the burying of our sins forever, and rising in precious faith in going after Him, the bright and the morning star. Who do you want to be with you in your dying day? Our Emmanuel. Who do you want to see in your life? Emmanuel. Who do you want to honour? The highest honour and glory you can give from your poor, poor failing being. It's an aspiration, a holy aspiration from your heart, isn't it? You long to be able to do it more. Oh, that my soul could love and praise Him more. His beauty trace, His majesty adore. Live near His heart, upon His bosom lean. Obey His words and all His will esteem. Is the honest cry and longing of a living soul. Poor miserable sinners. Well, what about your shortcomings? Buried. Buried. Ah, if you're dead with him, you'll rise with him, you'll reign with him, you'll live with him. Oh, he says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. What did he say when John the Baptist said, I was going to say rightly said, but I suppose it wasn't right for him to say it, poor man, but he was only a man like you and I, wasn't he, poor man? He thought it was a solemn and awful thing for him to baptize Christ. Never. No. Comest thou to me? Should be the other way round. Suffer to fulfill all, suffer, let me suffer to fulfill all righteousness. Suffer to be so now, yes, to fulfill all righteousness. And so Emmanuel humbled himself to be baptized by one of his dear people. And that poor man had fits of unbelief afterwards, didn't he? In the prison. He was only a poor man. And Jesus knows your fears, and you have fears in following him. Your unfitness, your failings. Ah, my dear friends, it's by faith. It's to take up your cross daily. It's pleading him and looking to him. I know when I had to go and fill up the pool at Maester many years ago, I wanted to run away. Oh, the sweet sense of his love and approbation had fled from me, and there was I struggling. And all I could wish I could do was to run away. And that trouble lasted into the next day of the service, but I can honestly say, at last, I had no real blessing that day, but I had such a sense of approbation, my friend. The answer of good conscience had sweet blessings before, but Lord in mercy has sweetly blessed a wretched sinner, since those days, and visited my poor soul again, vile as I am. But that particular day, I wouldn't consider myself particularly blessed, but I tell you something. As I feared his reproach and frown, I believe he gave me a sweet sense of his approbation. I felt no reproach. But it's a peculiar thing. I had a holy and quiet confidence and sweet hope in him. He was my God. He's reproved me many, many times. Many, many times in my life. He never approves you for following him. And he knows your heartache and your agonies. You feel so unfit and inadequate. That salvation is for sinners. May the Lord lay that in our hearts. You want some intimation from God. Now my soul wait only upon him. He was intimated many things. May sweetly confirm it. And he can indeed constrain you. Willing. I do like that in the psalm. It's the secrets of Holy Ghost exercise. That thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Oh, do you know the power of the love of Christ? Well, Lord, forgive me for going into these things. I don't often really, do I? It's in the word. He that believeth, that's the vital thing, and is baptized, that honors me, that follows me, and of course the Lord's Supper. This do in remembrance of me. That lovely hymn 1121, we read, don't we, before the mournful scene began. For he sweated great drops of blood for you, my friend, and groaned and grovelled in Gethsemane, as Hart puts it. He took the bread and blessed the wine. What love through all his actions ran. What wondrous words of grace he spake. Do this, he cried, to his dear, anxious people, his humble train of humble followers and believers. Do this, he cried, till time shall end in memory of your dying friend. Meet at my table and record the love of your departed Lord. Pardon me for keeping you. I'm going to close almost immediately. But may we not be ashamed of that cross and of that gospel. Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend on whom my hopes of heaven depend? No. When I bless thee, be this my shame, that I no more revere his name. Ashamed of Jesus, yes I may, when I have no guilt to wash away, no tear to wipe, no good to crave, no fears to quell, no soul to save. Do you need the Lord to save you, friend? Quell all your fears. Do you want good from him? May we not deny him, but as enabled, sweetly enabled, and to draw from the wells of salvation, wait only upon your God, as enabled to so put on Christ, shall be saved. Saved. Everlasting salvation. But how solemn. Isn't it solemn, friend, upon a note like this, my friends? But may Jesus be precious. And he that believeth not never mourns and weeps, and humbles himself and craves good from the Son of God, shall be damned. The Lord have mercy upon us. He knows you that long for him and wait upon him for his mercy. Ah, you'll not be ashamed in that day. Sorry to keep you. Let us ask thee, Lord's blessing upon the word. O Lord, forgive all spoken wrongly here this day, but do bless that which was of the Holy Ghost, that that was true of thee, thou blessed Son of God. Oh, forgive the whole of our lives. Oh, bless us indeed, with indeed blessings in our souls, and bring us safely through our days. So follow with thy blessing. Grant safe journeys now, Lord. And as we hope to retire later, grant us each sleep and a good night's rest. And grant some meditation. As the psalmist says, my meditation of him shall be sweet. So take us under thy shadow forevermore, we plead, for Jesus Christ's sake.
The collections last Lord's Day were £595, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Woodhouse will preach on Friday evening, and a collection will be taken for the Trinitarian Bible Society. And Mr. John Broom will preach next Lord's Day, if he is well enough. The collections today are for the Oakington Chapel Building Repair Fund. Let us close with hymn 956. Christ has blessings to impart, grace to save thee from thy fears. Oh, the love that fills his heart, sinner, wipe away thy tears. Hymn 956.
May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost, abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.